Peace and love, everybody. Welcome to yet another episode of In Defense of Liberation, the show that is working towards and educating about true people's liberation movements and revolution. I am your host, Raven. I use she, her pronouns. And today I wanted to get up quickly on the question of the upcoming election, the kind of momentum that we are seeing right now as the IDF and the Israeli occupation forces, their US and NATO backers moving out of many different regions throughout Gaza, and commenting on the notion of genocide and what it truly means to us who are alive today, who want to see an end to genocide and who want to build a different world. So this is going to be a quick one, but I want to just start off by saying, first of all, you know, to anybody who is planning to vote, has voted in the past, has questions about voting, there are many different campaigns that are happening right now, especially spearheaded by the Muslim community internationally, but of course specifically here in the States. There are also campaigns being spearheaded by those like the Spirit of Mandela, hashtag No Votes for Genocide, which people can check out and look into, you know, because I think there is a portion of the population which does still see voting and electoralism as a means by which they can have their voices heard. And so we don't necessarily want to discourage people from any and all political activities which they're already actively engaging in. But, you know, that isn't to say that we don't offer up critiques of those tactics and also don't want to highlight a focus on the necessity for mass organizing. So, of course, there's a lot of people who are gearing up for the election, not only just the two sides of the coin parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, the Blues and the Reds, but of course, just about any independent political party that you can think of, including those socialist, leftist, whatever you want to call them, formations, many of whom are or have in the past presented their own presidential candidate. And of course, the general population, many of them are getting ready for or already seeing the mass advertisement on social media, like on TikTok, on Instagram, and Facebook. Many of them are being encouraged to go register to vote by their different local government bodies, by radio stations, by email lists. And of course, a lot of people are in the practice of voting every so often, whether it be for federal elections, local elections, what have you. This is a common practice for many of us, not only just here, but around the world. And as we see, there is a lot of momentum which is built around these times that very often, either immediately or soon, very soon afterwards, will dissipate and turns into either general confusion and disappointment, upheaval, fear, or hatred, and just a general sense of rage and anger. And not to say that any of these things are bad on their head, because I think it's good that we are actively engaged in acting on, you know, the events which are unfolding in front of us and don't just vote and say, fuck it, who cares? Or just not even look at the elections and say, fuck it, who cares? Because there is, well, I should say there are lessons to be learned in what happens around election season, what electoralism is, and most importantly, how the focus on elections distracts from the majority of actions and tactics which many, many have taken part in throughout history. And of course, we see that in many ways, even those groups which say they are oriented towards mass organizing, towards building consciousness, when election season comes around, what happens? They either run their own presidential candidate or, you know, they tell people to go vote for one of the other political parties. And the reality is that no matter what kind of a defense you can develop for specifically and especially voting in the federal elections, most of those justifications are based on a conclusion that this democracy, this capitalist representative system, is at all built for or includes the mechanisms to care about, listen to, and focus on the needs of the people. So this is my, you know, personal opinion. This is not an opinion which is representative of any of the organizations which I'm a part of. But I think the reality has to be that no matter who is elected to federal office, and in many cases, no matter who is elected to local offices, without the mass organization which can actually lead to a level of accountability whereby those who are elected who do not follow up on the wants and needs of the people can either be directly removed or can be dealt with in whatever manner the people in that situation deem necessary, then it doesn't matter who gets elected, because ultimately they can do whatever they want and slash or they might not be able to do anything they want because there isn't that base, there isn't that legitimate organization which can prevent from complicity, compromise, and ultimately which can overpower and determine destiny, determine reality more than the dictatorship which is already in place. Because again, we have to remember that elections are not of representatives which pull at the genuine strings of society that are supposed to be representatives of you and me, but that elections are an opportunity for people to be chosen, to be placed in the, shall we say, pedestal or made the face of this system, so that those who ultimately dictate and determine what happens, the CEOs, the bankers, the gigantic law firms, the advertisement and insurance agencies, the intelligence agencies, the militaries and police forces, these are those who are truly in power. And they allow for, in capitalist reality, elections to happen in many ways so that the population is quelled and distracted from revolutionary objectives. And that can't be discluded in this moment as we look at the genocide unfolding in Gaza and the multiple forms of mass extermination, genocide, ecocide, climate catastrophe, hunger, starvation, poverty all over the world, which is being led, of course, directly and indirectly by the old European empires and their bastard children. That is what is the reality in front of us. And so to ignore that for the sake of, again, whatever excuse is used to take away from that larger point or to redirect that energy towards elections as if they're a legitimate source for liberation is something that we have to keep our eyes on, because it's not always intentional that people do this so as to distract from other things, but ultimately what it leads to is distraction from other things, because no one's coming to save us. No elected official is going to be granted or vested the amount of power to change the system as a whole. That's the whole point of the bureaucracy. That's the whole point of the development of the state, is so that at this historic juncture, there's no one person, no one political party, no one group of people, which on their own can participate within this system and change fundamentally the way that this system runs. That's how it's set up. So we have to understand this and we have to be clear about this, because if you are going to vote, if you are going to talk about voting, if you are going to talk about electoralism, whatever, we have to be clear on the context, right? And we have to be clear on the history. So that's really what I want to just make my main point about, is that struggle, class struggle, real class struggle, really building relationships, developing, and overthrowing the state, overthrowing the system at large, the status quo, and building new systems, new political structures, new forms of organization, new forms of social reproduction and production. That can't be done through simply elections. So if you are going to participate in elections, make sure that that is the bare minimum and the base to much, 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 much more that you do, especially with others. This connects me to my next point, which is, a brief update on what little bit of information I have coming out of Palestine. It seems that the IDF and IOF forces, which, as we know, ultimately are incapable of doing anything, not only without the permission, but in all reality, without the determining factor, which is the participation by the United States, by Britain, France, Germany, Italy, Poland, etc. We know that NATO has been dumping its old tech and weaponry into occupied Palestine for the settler forces to use in order to genocide the indigenous population of Palestine. But on top of this, we know that there has been continuous logistical and intelligence support by the imperialist forces in Europe, North America, and elsewhere. If it was not for this direct support, the Palestinian resistance would have won by now. They would have won generations ago. But because of a couple things. One, of course, first and foremost, which encompasses everything else, the fact that imperialist logic determines that one continuously needs to grow, one continuously needs to expand, and not expansion through a collaboration or communal approach, but through an exploitative approach, whereby one minuscule portion of the population dominates the majority of the population through economic, political, social, psychological, religious, and other forms of control. This is the ultimate determinant of everything else. The second reason is because, of course, has been mentioned many times before by others, there are natural resources to be gained in Palestine. This is not just speaking of the gas and oil reserves that have been found off of the coast of Gaza, but this is also to speak of course of the agricultural resources, to speak of the natural resources in the soil, and to also speak of the labor force, which similarly in the case of Haiti is an extreme driving force in the current fourth occupation of Haiti's sovereign land. Now, these two connect on this point because the resistance in Palestine has, of course, made clear to the world that they stand with the oppressed and they are willing to put their lives on the line, not only for the establishment of the soon coming Palestinian state, but also to put a direct blow to the imperialist aggressors, the settlers and the occupiers of the world, and make known that the people are no longer willing to sit idly by and watch as their children, their elderly, their loved ones, and their neighbors are mercilessly sacrificed at the altar of profits. This cannot be allowed any longer. So this update is important because, as we see, also a majority of the settler population is now secluded in the center of occupied Palestine, and many of the coastal regions, the Golan Heights and elsewhere, as was pointed out by Laith Maruf on Activist News Network, co-creator of Free Palestine TV, go support them, go donate to them. Because of the actions of the Axis of Resistance, and of course starting with and primarily because of the resistance in Palestine itself for generations, the colonial entity that we now know as Israel has become confounded in a massive amounts of contradictions, which can only be resolved one way. And this is my third point, that ultimately Palestine will be a galvanizing moment, is a galvanizing moment in the case of international class struggle. Because if and when the Palestinians succeed in liberating their own land and establishing their own state, the imperialists will not allow this to stand as a good example, as they are trying their best to not allow right now. And so the populations of the world where they still have control, including, of course, on Turtle Island and in Europe itself, they will have to and necessarily will, of course, without regret, extract more, exploit more, charge more, and oppress more. And this brings me to my last point, which is, in this moment right now, we see a lot of fear and hesitancy. This much I know is extremely true for myself. Fear and hesitancy guide almost every thought, every action of my day-to-day life. We also see a lot of emotions ranging from fear, anxiety, to depression, and hopelessness to anger and rage. And at the end of the day, we cannot necessarily be guided by these emotions, but we must guide these emotions. And this is something that is much easier said than done. But when it comes to really trying to develop a new world, really trying to build a new world, we have to ask ourselves, what are we putting our energy into, really? If at the end of the day you go to bed and you feel this sense of regret that I do, then maybe it's due time we really put into practice genuine changes, genuine behaviors and habits which are different from what we have been doing, and really commit to building relationships with and building organizations with other people, and stopping depending on ourselves or having expectations of ourselves that are just out of this world. You know, we can't have out of this world expectations for others either. They grow up in this environment as well. But the more of us who come together, who are able to develop principles of unity, able to share struggles, able to recognize shared enemies, the more of us who get engaged, the more likely it is that we will see these changes. That's logic, that's science. Hypothesis, experiment, conclusion. Anyways, all power to the people. Free the land, free Palestine, free all political prisoners. Long live the revolution.